Thank you for introducing. My name is Tongjin Chiu. Today I'm talk about locating prefix hijacking using lock. So this is a joint work with my supervisor, Jim Xu, and Lucian Ji, Dan Pei Jiawang from AT&T Research Lab, Hedish Benini from Cornell University. So my talk includes five parts. First of all, we will give you some background information about inter-domain routing protocol and prefix hijacking, and there's some motivation in our study. In the second part, we'll give you a general picture of our system architecture to locate the hijacker. In the third part, we'll start to dig into the basic algorithm and the improvements to locate the hijacker. In the fourth part, we'll present some evaluation results and finally make the conclusion. As we know, today's internet consists of tens of thousands of autonomous systems. So one, this kind of AAS can be a large ISP like AT&T, or it could be a campus network. There are different kinds of relationship among these different kinds of AASs. In this figure, we show the example. For example, AAS A is a customer of AAS B. So B provides the outside internet connection to A. So A have to pay for the traffic goes through the link. Another kind of the relationship, we call it peer-to-peer relationship. In this figure, AC and ASD are peers. So meaning that the traffic goes through the link between them will be totally free. So how to do the routing among these AACs is actually maintained by the Border Gateway Protocol, or BGP for short. I will give you an example how it works. Let's assume that ASE owns the prefix P. So it will announce the ownership to its neighbors through the border routers. In this way, SB and D will notice that, okay, if we want to go to the prefix P, we'll follow the paths B, E, and D respectively. For SB, it will broadcast this AS update message to the neighborhood. So in this case, SA will notice that, okay, I will follow the paths A, B, E to prefix P. For SC, it actually has two choices. It can follow the paths C, B, E, or C, D, E. Actually, how to choose these paths is profit-driven, because SB is the customer of SC, so it have to pay for the traffic. In this case, SC will prefer its customer's announcement rather than the peer's announcement of SD. So in this case, for SC, it will choose the S paths C, B, E. Okay, today's BGP already becomes a de facto inter-domain protocol. However, from the security perspective, it actually lacks association mechanisms, meaning that any AASs can arbitrarily announce the fabricate AAS announcement. Still consider the example. Here, originally AASC will follow the path CBE to prefix P. So here's the traffic goes through. Here we assume the SA is the attacker. It announces that I'm the owner of the prefix P. So it will broadcast this message to SB because B is the provider of the SA. So it will prefer this announcement rather than its peer's announcement. So it will be polluted. Similar case for SC. As a result, for SC, it will follow the path CBA to prefix P, which means the traffic from SC to the prefix P will be hijacked by the attacker ASA. We call this kind of attacks as prefix hijacking. Actually, based on how the hijacker or attacker ASA to deal with the hijacked traffic, there are three different kinds of prefix hijacking. If the attacker A simply dropped the packets it hijacked, then we call it black homing. If the attacker A pretend to be the owner of the prefix P and communicate with the SC, then we call it imposture. Finally, if the attacker A simply forward the traffic they hijacked from SC back to the actual owner of the prefix P, in this case is SE, we call it interception. Because prefix hijacking already become one of the top threats of today's internet, there are many solutions proposed to try to solve this problem. First of all, there is a general category called proactive methodology. The basic idea of the proactive methodology is try to prevent the happiness of the attacker. There are a number of the papers proposed in the past few years. However, there's a general problem regarding the deployment. Some of the papers will require the routing infrastructure change. Some may face the difficulties of incremental deployment, and some of the solutions may require the public key infrastructure over the whole internet. So, although this proactive methodology is kind of ideal way to prevent the happening of a hijacker, because of the deployment issues in recent years, the research tend to focus on another methodology, which is a reactive one. The basic idea of the reactive methodology is we're trying to detect the ongoing happenings of the hijacking events, then to try to mitigate the impact of the hijacking and recover back to the original status. So there are a bunch of the papers discuss how to detect the location of the detect the happenings of the hijacker, and some papers proposed to recover back to the original status. However, even for the reactive one, we think that towards a complete and automatic solution, and there was no real-world application deployed. Why this is case is because recall that we have some detection solutions, we have some recovery solutions, but there's still one part missing here, that is how to locate the hijacker. Why location is very important, because it provides the key information for the next step, which is the recovery or mitigate. More than that, location is far from the trivial problem. Let's take a look at what the counter practice is. Currently, the network administrators will identify the newly appeared origin S of the prefix P as the location of the hijacker. So recall that our previous example. In this case, if the hijacker A announced the ownership of the prefix P polluted by B and C. So in this case, if you check the S process, then the attacker actually is the newly appeared origin S. However, attacker can simply do another kind of the counter measurement. In this case, for example, attacker announced that for prefix P, you can actually follow the parse AE. So because B is the provider of A, so it will prefer its customer's announcement rather than the peer's announcement. Here will be polluted. Similar cases for C. So in this case, if you check the S parses, there's no newly appeared origin S. The origin S is still E, which means the character practice to check the location doesn't not always work. It's just an example. In our paper and in the rest of the talk, you will see that in many cases, character practice doesn't work. So that's why we want to propose a uniform methodology to locate the hijacker AS under different kind of hijacking cases. Here's our system architecture of a lock. Our input is the target prefix P you wanted to protect it. And already deployed a number of monitors around the internet. So it will keep monitor status from the monitors to the prefix P. At the original part, because there was no hijacking events, all the monitors will follow the correct path to the P. However, when the hijacking or attack happens, some part of the monitors will be polluted. So they will change the paths to the attacker. In our system, we actually utilize the parse information connected by these polluted monitors to locate the location of a hijacker. And the output of our system is actually the location of attacker. So there are two key components of our system. The first one is how to deploy the monitors. We actually formulate it as a monitor selection problem. We assume that we have already deployed a number of monitors around the internet. And for a particular target prefix we want to protect it, we just select a subset of monitors among the all monitors candidates. So how to select it? There are two criterions. First criterion, we're trying to maximize the likelihood to observe the hijacking events to the target prefix. So it's very easy to understand because just after you observe it, you can locate it. The second criterion is trying to maximize the diversity of the process from the monitors to the target perfects. It's also easy to understand because consider if the two monitors are very close to each other, then the passes from them to the target perfects will be almost the same, and there will no extra information to locate the location of the hijacker. So due to the time limitation, we will not present the detail of how to select the monitor. If you're interested, please refer our paper. And in the rest of the talk, we'll focus on the locating scheme, which is another key component of our system. Generally speaking, we will use the AS parsing information connected by different kind of monitors to infer the location of the hijacker. But how to do that? Actually, our basic algorithm based on two key observations. The first observation, we call it countermeasurement ability. Let's still consider a concrete example. Here is an AS topology example. We already deploy a number of the monitors here, monitor 1 from monitor 3. And the AST, we assume it is the actual owner of the prefix P. Now, here the hijacker ASH want to hijack the prefix P. If they do not do any countermeasurement, we just simply announced the ownership of the prefix P, so ASA and B will be polluted, and monitor 1 and 2 will be polluted too. However, the hijacker can do all kinds of the countermeasurement. One example could be hijacker A, hijacker H announced, I'm the ASX and I'm on the prefix P. So similar as before, the monitors M1 and M2 will be polluted. But if you check the AS passes, there will be AX and BX. There's no hijacker even appear on these AS passes. So generally speaking, a hijacker can do a lot of the countermeasurement, but there's some limitation to do that. That is, the hijacker cannot manipulate a proportion from the monitors to the upstream neighborhood AS of the hijacker AS. So in this case, the hijacker cannot manipulate the parts from the monitors M1 to A and the monitors M2 to B. This is just an example, but this observation holds on under different kind of countermeasurement situation. The second key observation, we call it convergency. Still this example, first the hijacker do not engage any countermeasurement. The monitors M1 and M2 will observe the two passes AH and BH. If you check about the convergency, they actually converge to the hijacker AS, which is H. However, the hijacker can do some countermeasurement announced as X. So for monitor M1 and M2, they observe X and BX respectively. In this case, if you only check the AS passes, you may think about these two passes converge at SX. Why we get the wrong answer? That is because we simply rely on the AS passes. So if we get a further step, we do not only consider the AS passes, but we also consider the AS neighborhood on these polluted passes. Then in this case, for example, we consider the neighborhood of the AS A and the neighborhood of AS B. We can actually find that the two polluted passes actually converge around the hijacker edge. So by the way, how to find the neighborhood set? We assume that there is the real world AS topology we can obtain from the public available data source. So note that if we know the A and B, we can find the convergence state, which is H. However, at the very beginning, we do not know the location of the hijacker H. Of course, we do not know what's the A is, what's the B is. So in order to locate the hijacker, the first step to do is trying to conservatively include all the ASs among these polluted AS passes. That's what our basic algorithm do. The first step is trying to identify the hijacker search space. Here we define the neighbor set of one AS as the AS is one hop away from itself, and we also include itself as into the neighborhood set. Actually, this kind of the computation of neighbor set is based on the existing AS topology which we can obtain from some public available data source. And we take the union of the neighborhood set of the oases on all polluted passes. As we mentioned before, why we take the union of this? Because we at the beginning, we do not know what is the upstream AS of the hijacker. And after you do the union, the hijacker should be in this search space based on our first observation. The second step of the basic algorithm is trying to rank all the aces in this kind of search space. The ranking algorithm is actually based on the second observation about convergence. The first criterion you need to satisfy is the more frequently an ace peer into the neighborhood set, the higher the ranking is. If there's a tie, the tie will be broken by the second criteria. That is, the closer an AS to the monitors, the higher its ranking is. I will give you a concrete example how the basic location algorithm works. It's the cases which is hijacker has some countermeasurement. We assume that monitors M1 and M2 will be polluted. M3 do not, so we will just consider polluted AS passes. In this table, we show the polluted AS passes as AX and BX. Then we consider the neighborhood set. For AS A, because the neighbor is H, so included itself, the neighborhood set would be AH. For X, similar thing, because its neighbors are H and Y, included itself, the neighbor set is HXY. Then we take the union of the neighborhood set. We find that there are 6 possible hijackers in the list. They are H, XY, A, B, C. Next, we will rank on all these hijackers among this list. Because H shows 4th in this neighborhood set, so it has the highest ranking. XY only shows twice, but X are closer to the monitors compared with Y. So X has a higher ranking than Y. A and B, they shoot only once. They have the same distance to the monitors, so they have the equal ranking. And compared with C, because C are relatively far away from the monitors, so C is the bottom of the hijacking list. After you get this ranked hijacker list, if you choose the top on the list, that should be the hijacker. Okay, in the basic algorithm, what we do is kind of conservative because we include all polluted passes and we compute the neighborhood set among all these polluted passes. So the immediate thinking of improvement is trying to shrink the search space or suspicious list. We actually do 2 kind of the improvements. The first improvement utilizes the edge relationship we mentioned in the background. Note that in the basic algorithm, we define the neighborhood set as a one hop away based on the S topology. But in the real world, even if there's some physical connection, it doesn't mean that there is some traffic goes through both directions. In the internet, there is so-called valley-free property. For example, the traffic goes through from the provider to customer link. It cannot go back to customer to provider link. So, utilize this kind of the valley-free property, we can actually shrink the neighborhood set on the trustworthy aces. Here, the trustworthy, we mean the part from the monitors to the upstream neighborhood of the hijacker, which we defined it based on our basic algorithm. The second improvement, we're trying to exclude the innocent aces, and the definition of the innocent is considered as similar to the trustworthy. So in these 2 improvements, note that we cannot 100% guarantee the trustworthy and innocent. So these 2 improvements may introduce some false negative. Okay, we study our evaluation part. There are 3 different kinds of settings for experiment. First, we want to extensively simulate the synthetic prefix hijacking events. Second, we try to reconstruct the previous known hijacking events which happened before. Finally, we do the real-world hijacking events and try to evaluate our locating system. In the first experiment, we simulate the synthetic prefix hijacking events. We select the hijacker and sources from the PlentyNav nodes because it's easy to control and we can easily connect the measurement data. We also select over 400 target prefix from different kinds of sources. For example, from multi-origin AS prefix, from single-origin prefix but with a very large traffic, and the popular website prefix based on the Alexa ranking. When we have the hijacker, source, and target prefix, we can emulate all the possible hijacking events based on the combination of three. So we actually simulate three different kinds of types of the hijacking events, including an imposter, interception we mentioned before, and the malicious case. In the malicious case, we think that we do inject some countermeasurement to invade the location scheme. Note that in for our monitor selection, we select the monitors also from the PlentyNav nodes, and the selection algorithm is based on the target prefix. So this table shows the effectiveness of our basic locating algorithm and the improvements. The first row, we only show the basic algorithm. You can find that the accuracy of basic algorithm to locate the hijacker is above 95%. And the fourth row, we show the basic algorithm combined with two improvements. So in this case, the accuracy is above 94.3%. We have to admit that the improvement may introduce some false negative, but it's relatively low. For example, in the imposter case, compared with the basic algorithm, we have more than 5% improvement regarding the accuracy, but we only introduce 0.09% of false negative ratio. So in the second experiment, we try to reconstruct the previous known hijacking events. We list seven hijacking events in the table, and there's a victim S, hijacking S, and the date it happens. It includes some very popular sites like YouTube and eBay. For these seven hijacking events, use our locating scheme, we can locate all the location of the hijackers. We also record the minimum number of the monitors required to locate them. Actually, this number is generated by our monitor selection algorithm. We find that roughly we can select 5 to 16 monitors to locate all of these hijackers. Finally, we do the real hijacking. We have four controlled sites in different physical locations, namely Seattle, Berkeley, Pittsburgh, and Cornell. We have the owner of one prefix, and each time we'll pretend one site as a victim and try to pretend another site as the hijacker to hijack the prefix owner. We already deployed a number of the monitors around the PlentyNav nodes, and it will protect the target prefix we list here. When that hijacking happens, some monitors' traffic will be redirected, and we can locate them. This table shows a different kind of a combination of our real hijacking events and when we will launch it. And we also record the response time, which means from the time from we launch the hijacker to the time we actually locate the hijacker. The response time is from several minutes to 30 minutes. Note that because our monitor will do the probe every 5 minutes, it means that we only require 2 to 3 probes to actually locate the hijacker. Similar as the second experiment, we also record the minimum number of the monitors required to locate the hijacker. So the results will be similar as the previous one. As a conclusion, we propose a system called LOCK to locate the prefix hijacker AS. To our best knowledge, it's the first study about the hijacker location problem, and we can actually locate the hijacker even when the countermeasurements are engaged. Due to our extensive evaluation, we can find that we can locate the hijacker with relatively high location accuracy with low false negative ratio. We want to thank the graduate support from the NSF Cipher Trust Program. And that's all for our talk. Thank you, and I'd like to take questions.
George Jones. It seems to me that you've got fine mechanisms for detecting the fact that there have been changes, right? But it seems you're also sidestepping the basic issue that there is no authoritative, you know, signed registry to check whether those changes are actually authorized.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
So the real problem is it seems that you are able to detect that there have been changes, that there are new announcements for prefixes. But the basic problem is that you have no authoritative source to say that I might have just changed providers, right? There is no authority. You have no authoritative signed source to say, is this new announcement allowed or is it malicious?
Yeah, this part, if you mean the how to identify the polluted monitors, is actually can be solved by some existing detection algorithms.
No, but there is no authority, right? There is no up-to-date, you know, maintained registry of who's allowed to announce this address.
Oh,
you detect change, but you can't say whether it's good or bad.
Yes, there are some registration about the SS, which prefix belongs to it. But to my experience, usually this registration database is out of date. So
yes,
exactly.
That is a fundamental problem that you're not going to solve.
Yeah.
We solve one problem at a time. There is time for another question.
Hi. Good talk. Quick question about the manipulation of the AS paths.
Uh-huh.
You say that the hijacker can't manipulate the AS path before,
yes,
like on the part of the route before it reaches the hijacker.
Mm-hmm.
But the attacker could prepend arbitrary AS numbers into the AS path and probably could strip out parts of the AS path on the announcement before it re-advertised. And so prepending it could do. I mean, it could prepend like anything, any other AS number in the AS path. So I'm wondering, like, does that affect your ability to infer the neighborhood? The hijacker can really put any AS number in the AS path that it wants to.
In our solutions, the neighborhood is obtained from the existing database.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some routers and have some sensitivity check about the neighborhood AS paths, but not all of them. So it's possible that AS number can actually advertise.
If this is the last question, let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.
So this